Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. I hope that you're having a great day in every part of your life. And most of all, in every part of your life, I hope that you're walking with the Lord and growing in His grace. And I pray God is using these times as a contribution to that, to help you in that. As always, we want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, we thank our Lord, who loves us, who created us, who went to the cross and died and rose again for us, who's brought us into an eternal relationship with the Father through His death, burial, and resurrection, who wants us to know Him, and He's brought us here today. And so as we have this time together and as we come to seek Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much, Lord, for this day. Father, for Your eternal love for us, for Your goodness and for Your grace. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll take today, that You'll use this time in Your Word. Father, that You'll give us an understanding of what Your Word says. And Father, that we'll hear You through Your Word and that we'll grow in You. Lord, teach us. Father, we need to know. We need to learn. We need to grow. And You alone, O God, can do that. Father, we turn to You. We seek You. Be with us now in this time, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want you to think for a second. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? When life circumstances have just completely overwhelmed you? Now, we've all been there, and you may be there now. Emotionally, maybe some sorrow or heartache. It may be physical, it may be relational, may be financial, may be occupational, whatever it is. There's always, you know, there's that area, and those things always take their toll on us spiritually. And we're not alone. We're not the first ones to experience that. You think about what David said here in Psalm 142, and think about the superscription, that is the inspired writing above the psalm. Now, most study Bibles have some label over the psalms. I'm not talking about that. And most of those are good. I'm not critical of them. But I'm talking about the actual inspired superscription for this psalm. A masculine of David, notice, when he was in the cave. That time when David was hiding from Saul, hiding from his enemies, being hunted like an animal. You can just imagine how day after day and week after week and month after month, how that would in fact wear you down. And you see the effect it had on David. Drop down to the very first part of verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me. You think about that. When my spirit was overwhelmed. And again, we've all had those times, whether it was brought about by financial burdens or health issues, relational issues, issues within our family, whatever the case may be, we've all had those times where, and there's not only been that problem, but given long enough period of time, it just wore us down spiritually. How do we handle those times? And I realize this is obviously a devotion time, and the pat answer is the fact that we need to pray, and that's true. But how can we pray? What would guide us in our prayer life in a time like this? Well, look with me as we look at the balance of the psalm and we see how David prayed. Let's go ahead and read through the psalm and then we'll see these lessons from David's prayer life. Verse 1, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, You knew my path. In the way where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there's no one who regards me. There's no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to You, O Lord. I said, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I may give thanks to Your name. The righteous will surround me. For You will deal bountifully with me. David, yes, he's in the cave. Yes, he's at the point where his spirit was almost overwhelmed. But David prayed in that time. And look at how he prayed. Look at the lessons that we learned from David's prayer life. when we feel like we're just completely overwhelmed. First of all, as we look at this psalm, we see that, number one, we need to pray with passion. And by that I mean this, that we need to truly pray, truly seek God's face, truly seek to meet with Him. It's obvious reading the psalm, this is not mere formality. This is not mere habit. This is not merely doing it because that's the good thing to do, is what you should do. There's a burden, there's a hunger, there's a need. David needs to meet with God and to hear from Him. Again, you look at verses 1 and 2. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. You think about the individual terms in those two verses. You think about the complete picture there. David is saying, I have got to meet with God. There's nothing more important, nothing more urgent, nothing more critical. This is a wholehearted seeking of God. You know, one advantage we have about those times when we feel overwhelmed is that they tend to bring us to reality. And it sharpens our prayer life. It sharpens our walk with God. You know, we read these verses, we think about how David's praying in that time of great difficulty, and it causes us to think about the times when we're not overwhelmed and we pray. And you can't help but wonder, could it be that the reason we don't experience more answers to our prayers is the fact those prayers really didn't mean that much to us when we offered them up? We didn't feel that burden, that urgency, that need. We weren't praying passionately. And our Father is a wonderful God of grace. But if our prayers don't mean very much to us, why should they to Him? And is that why we so often truly meet God in those times? Because it's when we are pouring out our heart before God. We need to pray passionately. But then secondly, we look at the psalm, we need to pray, number two, we need to pray in relational reverence. You might think that's a strange term or strange combination of words, and it is. I couldn't think of another better, clearer way of saying it. Notice what we see in the very first part of verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed me, you, notice that, it is directly to the Lord, and it's based on a relationship. Again, you think about the relationship that David wrote about in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is the fact that David had that intimate, personal, one-on-one relationship with Him. And always remember that salvation at its core is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In fact, it is our Lord Himself. He defined salvation as this in John 17, 3. This is eternal life. In other words, this is what eternal life means. This is what it means to be saved. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. But then notice in that verse, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me, but you knew my path. God, you knew. Speaking of God's omniscience, the fact that God knows everything, his immanence, the fact that He is always close. Speaking obviously of God being sovereign, God being providential. There's that aspect that David, yes, has that relationship with God, but there's also within that relationship that deep reverence for God. And we need to always have both of those. And we need to always keep one coupled to the other. If we so emphasize a relationship without the necessary reverence, we're basically trying to, if you know other way to say it, get chummy with a God who we have made the way we want Him to be. But if we have reverence but we don't have the relationship, we've missed the whole point of salvation. We need a relational reverence. Yes, know we're in a relationship with God and have a deep awe and understanding as to who that God is. A relational reverence. But notice as well, number three, we need to pray in dependence. Latter part of verse 3, going on through verse 6. In the way where I walk, they've hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Everything in those verses speaks of David's great need for God. Only God could help him. David, there was a trap laid for David. There was no one at David's right hand. And the significance of that is that's that place of power and strength. In other words, there's no guard. There's no protection for David. There's no escape for David. No one cared. No one cares. You ever felt like that as you face some problem or difficulty? All David had was God. And God was his refuge and his portion. David had been brought low. His persecutors were too strong for him. And he deeply recognized his need for God. God, only you can help me. That is when our prayers are real prayers. And it's we only really meet with God when we realize just how helpless and hopeless we are. We need to, in fact, come before God and recognize our absolute dependence upon Him. But then notice the fourth element. We need to pray for God's praise. Now, obviously, as we pray about these things, we pray for God to deliver us, carry us, meet our need, lift us up, whatever the situation calls for. And that is biblical, that is correct. God invites us to come to His throne of grace. But our ultimate desire needs to be for God to glorify Himself. You think about verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. David's ultimate desire was for God to be honored and glorified as a witness, as a testimony, as an encouragement to other believers. And how we too, when we're in a time of difficulty, need to pray for God to glorify His name in what He does, in meeting that need, lifting us out of that pit, carrying us through that time of adversity. Yes, that God get us out of it, but even more importantly, that God glorify His name. You know, like David, we have a God that we can seek in the most difficult of times, and you may be there right now. You may read David's words, and that's exactly where I am. Follow David's example. Meet with the Lord. Pour out your heart before Him. He'll strengthen you. He'll carry you. He will lift you. He will move. He will provide. You can trust Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day again. And oh God, the wonderful God that You are, who can be trusted with all things. Lord, I pray that You'd be with each of us through the balance of this day and whatever circumstances we're in, whatever it is we're facing, especially for those, oh Lord, who may be going through an especially difficult time. Lord God, let us see You work and move. Yes, oh God, to carry us, but even more importantly, to glorify Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.